And good morning. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Morning Show here at 88.5 KRFY. We are live here in the studios on First Avenue, and I'm Susie Prez, one of your co-hosts this morning.
And I'm your other co-host over here on the second microphone, Chris Bessler. Good morning, Susie.
Good morning, Chris.
How you doing?
I'm fine, and it seems like we're going to have sunshine today, and this is last Wednesday we had sunshine, too. I think Wednesday's a lucky day.
Yeah, it's looking a bit springy out there, although it was frosty this morning.
Yeah, 32 degrees.
Yeah, but a beautiful day here in Sandpoint, Idaho.
And I think the folks here may have been expecting our guests to be representatives or candidates from District 7, which is a district that comes all the way up into Sagal. And because we're going to start Local Decision 2018 primary, our broadcast with candidates today, but they were not able to make it. They're still in session. The incumbents are still in session. So we're going to try to bring them in later in the next 5-6 weeks as we progress through Local Decision 2018 primary.
Yeah, so that the decision of the legislature to stay in session kind of threw a monkey wrench in that plan. But I hear that they're very close to adjourning. They were almost going to adjourn yesterday, and they reconvened today at 3 p.m., so they'll probably be adjourning very shortly. So our legislative representatives and candidates will be back in town shortly. Wanted to mention on that note that we do have a number of other candidate interviews coming up. Starting next week, we're going to be talking with candidates, Democratic candidates for House seat 1A, and we're also going to be talking about the Scotchman Peaks Wilderness ballot question, and then we're going to cover candidates as we go on right up through May 9th, covering every contested primary race.
And if you want to get a schedule, you can always like us on Facebook, and we broadcast those schedules as they come up.
And we'll make sure it's on the website as well. But absolutely, we have it still, even with the missing legislative candidates. We have a terrific program today because we're going to be talking about some big news here in town. Really big deal, I think. The Lohr Foundation is making some large grants to both the city of Ponderé and the city of Sandpoint to help with acquisition of I won't go into that. We'll let Lohr Foundation Representative Jeremy Grimm talk about that. Jeremy, you're here. Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We also have Eric Brubaker, the Ponderé City Planning Director. Eric, thanks for making it.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks.
And finally, we have Shelby Ronstad, the Sandpoint Mayor here.
Good morning, Chris and Susie. Pleasure to be here.
But before we get to that,
Would you like to hear the weather?
Let's figure out what's happening with the weather.
Okay, well, currently it's 32 degrees. Partly sunny today, high of 47. And partly cloudy tonight, low of 29. Kind of similar weather. Thursday and Friday, we have a 20 to 40% chance of showers. And then again on Saturday, we have partly sunny. So it looks like spring weather. And the high on Saturday will be 47. High on Friday, 50. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, that's spring weather. It's a little cooler than usual, probably. That's been great for Schweitzer. I'll testify to that. Schweitzer's got a great snowpack happening still. In fact, on Sunday, people were up there skiing in powder because they had a bunch of about 12 inches of new snow over the previous 24 hours.
I heard that it's like winter up there the other day.
Yeah, great skiing. Other things going on outside. Sunrise this morning was at 6:34 a.m. It'll set tonight at 7:09 p.m. Of course, we're into official spring now. We're heading towards the summer solstice in June. We're gaining daylight every day. In the past week, our days have become 24 minutes longer. Woohoo! We do have a full moon coming up. That'll be on Saturday. So look up at night because there's some nice night skies happening. Other things going on around town?
Well, there's something tonight that I just want to mention because KRFY is going to be part of this in April, but it's a series that the library is putting on. It's called Fake News, Media Literacy in the Information Age, and it's a series. And this week, they're bringing a journalist professor from the University of Idaho talking about ethics in media. So it's very interesting. It will be at the Heartwood Center this evening at 6 p.m. It's just a couple hours of really talking about what's going on in the media and what we can do to guarantee we're hearing what we want to hear or reading what we want to read.
In the age of fake news, that's actually an important subject to be informed on. Of course, we have Easter coming up on Sunday, and there's the big Sandpoint Lions Club Easter egg hunt that happens in Lakeview Park. That's on Saturday, though. It's the day before Easter. And that's for children ages 1 to 12. It begins promptly at 10, and if you're bringing a kid, let me advise you to be there by 10 because it's a hunt, but it's also kind of a race, and those kids come charging out. The eggs don't last long, so don't be late if you're taking your child to the Easter egg hunt, and that's a great tradition in this town put on by the Lions Club. And, of course, there's a lot of things going on around town. There's music, and there's talks, and there's a concert by Wild Idaho Rising Saturday at the Little Panada. There's a great talk called Canoes Along the River with the author Jack Nisbet speaking at the Beardmore and Priest River on Saturday as well. You can get more details on all these things happening in our town at our website, KRFY.org, or at sandpointonline.com, which provides the calendars. And with that.
Yes, let's get to our guests.
And again, we are here today with Jeremy Grimm. He is the, Jeremy, what's your official title of the Lohr Foundation?
I'm a program officer for the Lohr Foundation, Chris. Okay. And many of your listeners may remember my name. I was the planning director for the city of Sandpoint from 2007 to 2015.
Yes. Yeah. You're a public figure, I'd say. And I have as well with us Eric Bubraker, again, Ponderay City Planning Director, and Shelby Ronstadt, the Sandpoint Mayor. And we're going to be talking about a couple of sizable grants that the Lohr Foundation is making to both of those cities. But before we get into that, for our listeners who may not be acquainted, tell us a little bit about what the Lohr Foundation is.
Sure, Chris and Susie, thanks. The Lohr Foundation is a private family foundation, and we're engaged in the business of philanthropy, which is effectively giving money away. And Lohr's different because we look to affect change in communities, not by just giving money away, but by being real partners in these communities. And the area we work is the Intermountain Rocky Mountains, so from New Mexico to Idaho. We work exclusively in rural communities, and we really work to enhance the quality of life in these rural communities. And rural communities across the Rocky Mountains are facing a number of changes, whether it's demographic changes, socioeconomic changes, you know, new businesses, new industry. Sometimes it's the built environment or maybe a highway or a new road that's going to affect how our community operates. Other times it's, it impacts the environment due to maybe climate change or, you know, air quality or water quality issues. So we work in a very, very intimate way with these communities, and we really listen. That's the most important thing we do. We listen and try to understand what the communities are facing, and then we try to understand how we can be of help, whether it's through direct funding. Sometimes it's through expertise. We have partners or what we call subject matter experts that can come and provide some insight on an issue. And other times it's just, being in a room, helping people think through things and having a different perspective. So we are first and foremost here to help enhance the livability of a community. And we do that through listening and partnering with local governments, nonprofits, organizations in those communities.
And maybe a little bit later, we'll come back and talk a little bit more about the Lohr Foundation, because it's a pretty fascinating organization and the work that you're doing in the rural West, which is undergoing so much change right now, is really far-reaching. But what we want to talk about specifically today with our guests are some significant grants that the Lohr Foundation is making to the city of Ponderay, specifically for the Field of Dreams, which folks are going to be familiar with. As well as a potential acquisition, at least part of the UI, the University of Idaho property along Boyer. Now let's dive in on Ponderay first. And Eric Bubaker, the city planning director, is here. Eric, fill us in on what the Field of Dreams project is, although a lot of folks are going to know about it. I bet a lot of them don't.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. I feel a little bit underqualified, although I've been close to this since about 2010. And this goes back to, for me, the Byway Project. But For about 20 years before that, there have been nonprofits, there have been active community members that have pushed, worked, struggled, clawed to make this thing a reality. And what we've seen over the years is this change and grow from what was known as North Idaho Pondere Youth Sports Association, NYPSA, which was a nonprofit that held the Field of Dreams. It was a 50-acre property kind of on the north end of town. And they got to the point where they were able to have some soccer games and stuff like that. One of the problems in Pondere is it's kind of wet, and our fields are wonderful and flat, a great playing surface. But it was a challenge to make that field work without substantial investment. And yeah, it's great in July, but it's not really going to get us playing in May. And that's one of the times when we have large tournaments in this community for soccer. We turn people away as far as a way to contribute to our economy. I think there's been a lot of people over the years who've seen this as a tremendous asset, a tremendous opportunity. But it wasn't until 2010 when Mike Reed is a name who has been working very hard in the community to bring a more vigorous soccer program to the community. And it was his reaching out to Parsons when they did the Byway project to say, hey, this site could use some regrading and some fill. And that basically laid a foundation for an amazing regional scale recreation facility. And around that time is when the city stepped in and said, hey, we'd be willing to partner with you. And so through the leadership of mayor at the time, Carol Koonsman, and a very supportive council that said, you know, we want to help make something happen. We don't know exactly when. We don't know who's going to take it from here, but the city can step in and help hold this property for the future, for the next generation, for the region. And that's where we are today until this amazingly...
So it's been kind of a holding pattern with that 50-acre site.
It's really been a holding pattern. And I just want to say thank you to the Lohr Foundation, which basically now provides us this opportunity to, one, plan. Pondere is a small community. We have very limited resources. We try our best to do well with what we have, and we try real hard to work together for the broader community. That's Dover, Sandpoint, Pondere, Kootenai, and surrounds. So that's kind of where we are today, is with an opportunity. Thank you, Jeremy and the Lohr Foundation, for...
So initially, the Lohr Foundation has given the city of Pondere $100,000 to start the thought process and the development of how to make this 50-acre field functional. I know that 20 years ago, my son played on it in the spring, and it was very wet, and trying to drive up there. So you have a vision that you've put forth to the Lohr Foundation, and it's a process of developing this further to full functionality, I would imagine.
Yeah, and that's where it's always been looked at as a regional asset. It's not a field for 1,000 people of Pondere. It's a field for our community. And I feel like that's what Lohr was acknowledging when they provide the support for this planning. And once that wraps up, $400,000 towards development of the field. Mm-hmm.
So Jeremy, to you, the question would be, is how do you evaluate and decide that this is a project that would be good for Lohr to invest in?
Sure, Chris. Thanks. And let me just first say we're super excited about this opportunity to provide Pondere with the funding required to really give some thought to what's going to become there and get some really good numbers on what the cost is going to be. I want to step back just a bit and say, you know, Lohr has been involved in this greater Sandpoint community for about 6 years now. So we've done a number of projects and supported a number of efforts in Pondere, you know, whether it's working to get the Bay Trail or get the underpass, from Pondere to the Bay Trail, or, you know, some other trails and easement and related work. This is just a natural continuation of that sort of work in Pondere and the greater Sandpoint area. And what we recognize and what we hear from our listening is that, you know, this area is changing quite dramatically right now. I've interviewed almost all of our large employers in the community. And, you know, housing affordability is really at a point now where it's going to threaten the viability of our local businesses. The fact that our businesses are having trouble recruiting and expanding means that they may look elsewhere. And I think that's really the big thing that's wrapped in all of this is if we lose our sort of our DNA, what makes this area so special, which is that we have a mixture of retirees and second homeowners and businesses and tourism. If we lose some of that, we become a community that's sort of at risk for what we all, many of us love about it. So this Field of Dreams investment and support is really about, as well as some of our other work in Ponderay, really what can we do as a foundation to support the development of Ponderay in a way that's going to provide rich amenities and amazing quality of life for those residents. And the point being here is that as we grow as a region, Ponderay, one way or another, is going to probably accept and be part of that growth story. So if you're familiar with Ponderay today, the types of housing and the types of patterns of growth out there right now are ripe for enhancement in the sense that the people living there today don't have great access to sports fields and trails and, you know, other civic amenities that really make communities incredibly desirable places to live. Mm-hmm. So this Field of Dreams, it's $100,000 for a planning grant and then a follow-up $400,000 to support whatever that planning is. And we are just thrilled to be working with Ponderay and Sandpoint and other communities here to listen and really understand what the residents desire for that site and understand how we can take that forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to your point on the livability, really the Field of Dreams is a big asset for the young people, the young families, the kids, and that constitutes our workforce right there.
Yeah. I mean, a place to throw a frisbee or a football or have a soccer game or a lacrosse game or fly an airplane or whatever you want to do there.
Yeah. My kid played out there 20 plus years ago, too. In fact, I coached a team and we had a good season, I'd like to say.
Nice. Congratulations,
coach. Good job, team. Yeah. So it is a huge asset that's got all this potential that hasn't yet been realized. So it's great to see this massive step forward. And then the second thing that hit the news this week was the another sizable grant that the Lohr Foundation is making to purchase at least a portion of the University of Idaho's Boyer property. And Mayor Ron said, why don't you speak to that? What does this, it's a $500,000 grant. How's that going to be deployed?
Yeah, well, let me give you a little bit of background on that first, and I'm sure many of your listeners are probably familiar with the history. The University of Idaho approached us about a year ago and let us know that they were interested in disposing of that property. It's 77 acres that front Sand Creek and Boyer on the west side, right there, North Boyer near the airport. You know, there was, of course, the University of Idaho Extension Center there for many years. I believe it was 2010 that they closed that down. And, you know, the university has other plans now. So they were looking to divest. They came to us and said, hey, we want to do right by the community. We want to give you the opportunity to either purchase or come up with some kind of plan that where our disposal could also meet the needs of the community. And so at that point, we started pursuing a collaborative planning effort, really, to assess, first of all, what is the community's vision for that area, not just that property specifically, but for the whole northern area of Sandpoint. So we opened up our comprehensive plan and did a sub-area review for that area. And what that did is it really was an attempt to distill what the community's vision was for growth in that part of town, say 20 years into the future. So that process concluded in November of 2017. The sub-area comp plan revision was passed by first Planning and Zoning Commission and then City Council. There were several workshops, an open house. We tried to get as much public input through that process as possible. Through that process, you know, we were, of course, trying to look internally as how could we come up with the funding to purchase that ourselves as a city, and then have more control as far as how and if it is to be developed in the future, but also really to preserve the incredible asset that land is already today. For years, ever since 2010, when the Extension Center was closed and before, many people in the community have used that land to just to walk, to bike, to Nordic ski in the winter, to bird watch. Outdoor education programs have been conducted out there through supported by Kinnexu Land Trust and Seoul and other groups like that. So it really is this incredible community asset. There's a wetland, of course, that goes all along Sand Creek there. It's about a third of a mile in length, the frontage on Sand Creek there. And there's even a finger of that wetland that extends west into the land. And so it really provides a wildlife corridor as well. And it's a special habitat that should be protected and preserved as much as possible. There's a lot of native forest land along the embankment there, acres of forest. So really rich natural area, and certainly the city was motivated to try and do what it could to preserve that, and clearly that's what we heard from the community as well through our sub-area revision process. And then at that point, we realized that we didn't have the resources to do this. And we knew that LORE was interested in supporting the broader region, the greater Sandpoint area through grants. And so we thought that there was an opportunity for us to make a request to grant and see if they could be a partner in this as well. So I believe it was November that we reached out to them and made a, I think, what I would call a bold request to purchase the property in entirety. And we went down there. They invited us to come down and meet with the board. This was just a few weeks ago, and to discuss this in greater detail. So I went down with a couple of staff members, Jennifer Stapleton, our city administrator, and Eric Paul, who is the chair of the Urban Renewal Agency. And we made a formal pitch down there. And I should say, prior to going down, we also reached out to Sandpoint Urban Renewal, Sandpoint Urban Renewal Agency, excuse me, and asked if they would partner with us in this as well. Urban Renewal has a lot of resources through tax increment that they collect off the difference in developed taxable value within a district. So they have some resources that they can bring to bear. However, to do so, they have to open up their urban area plan for the northern area. Currently, the property that we're speaking about is outside of the revenue allocation area. So they have to open up their plan in order to be able to do any projects or commit any funds in that specific area. So we made that request before meeting with LORE a few weeks ago. We made that formal request to the Urban Renewal Agency, and they agreed to go through that process. So that is beginning really now. That process will start, and that'll take several months, and the consequences of that is I would say October or November, the plan would be amended this property, much of this property, would be included within the revenue allocation area. And that would enable Urban Renewal to contribute some funding, whether it be to participate in purchase or to participate in infrastructure improvements on public land there. They can't do improvements on private land, but if it's owned by a public agency, say the city, or by Urban Renewal itself, they can contribute infrastructure there, funding for infrastructure. So we're trying to bring in, and of course through this process as well, we're trying to bring in as many partners as possible in order to make this this dream a reality. And it really is, it's a big project. It's bigger than the city of Sandpoint. Whatever we could accomplish there would clearly serve the broader community, not only in with the natural amenities that I spoke about, but there's also a parallel vision to create a community recreation center. So that's been, again, a long time dream of the community at large here for, you know, decades, I would say. And there's certainly there have been many iterations over the years of trying to make something like that happen. So we saw this as a great opportunity. Perhaps we could use this opportunity to carve out a few acres that could be allocated for a future community rec center. So all of this was kind of in the mix when we came to the lower board and said, hey, can you help us out here? And fortunately, they came back with an offer of $500,000 to specifically dedicated to the community recreation center parcel. So that those funds would have to be committed for that purpose. They couldn't be used for anything else. And that's kind of where we're at today. There's still some conditions that we're working through in that offer, and those would have to be agreed to and ultimately approved by council before we could accept that grant.
So you're in the initial stages. You've received the grant or are in that stage. Jeremy from the Lohr Foundation, I'm wondering, obviously this fits into the mission of the Lohr Foundation. How was this received as a potential project?
Well, I'd say very favorably, just because obviously we funded it. And, you know, projects like this are so instrumental to building, you know, that livability. We do our own sort of listening, so to speak. Some of the listeners may have out there in radio land or web land may have received a phone call. Sometimes we'll do phone calls from me asking people what they think or stakeholder groups or others. But we did a lot of listening in the community. And on this issue for the U of I property, 75 acres, right in the center of Sandpoint, there's some divergence and lack of consensus on sort of the overall components of what would happen on this site. And I really, you know, want to hand it to the city for their engagement. This has been a really intense process for them to try to figure out what the community wants to do with this opportunity, this 75 acres. But the one area of clear consensus in our listening and I think in the public process was this notion of a year-round rec center, a rec facility. You know, those who live here know that it's tough, you know, getting out. And when it's raining for a week or two or a month straight, a place for kids and adults, people of all ages to go and just get healthy and meet one another and hang out and exercise or have fun. So that was the one area that there was no ambiguity. It was clear as you know, water that these folks in this community desire to aspire to build a rec center. So we thought this was the first step that could hopefully get us as a community along that path, and also hopefully we'll draw on some other funders and some other partners that you know, share that vision.
Yeah, and let me just say we're so grateful to the Lohr Foundation for providing this seed money grant. This is really going to enable us to bring, as Jeremy said, bring other partners to the table. Now we've got Urban Renewal Agency as a key partner, And I think that this is really going to be the seed that's going to allow us to bring other resources to bear, and I expect great things.
I was wondering about Kinnexu Land Trust. I know what they conserve areas, and you're talking about the wetlands down by the creek there. I'm wondering if some parts of it, they're not buildable, but they could be preserved through a conservation easement, something like that, too. There's lots of options I'm sure people are working on. Yes, this is 88.5 KRFY. You're listening to The Morning Show, and we're sitting here today, Chris Bessler, my co-host, and myself, with Jeremy Grimm, Program Officer of the Lohr Foundation, Eric Brubaker, City of Ponderay Planning Director, and our City Mayor of Sandpoint, Shelby Ronstadt. So we'll continue the conversation.
Okay, so let's swing back to Ponderay. Eric, City Planning Director. So what are the next steps with moving forward with the Field of Dreams plan project?
So honestly, Chris, we're going to work very closely with the Lohr Foundation. Like Jeremy mentioned, they're here for us, and at least as far as I understand, have made it clear that they want to support us in developing this plan, this project, which means we're going to be reaching out to the community through an extensive planning effort, not unlike what Sandpoint has already started to do for the University of Idaho property. We'll be engaging consultants that will help us pull that together, and we're going to try and honor the spirit of this grant in its fullest and in a timely way. So by next February, we should have kind of, hey, here's where we're going. Here's where we're going with this. And it's 50 acres. It's a kind of a big blank slate. It's kind of the fun stuff in planning, kind of the easy stuff in planning. And the hard stuff is going to be making sure we hear the community and make sure we get all those voices on the table. But I think we're going to do that, and I'm really pretty excited about it.
So there will be a public process, and you'll be inviting comments, Ponderay residents, probably residents just from the area, to put in their two cents of what their vision might be for the Field of Dreams?
That is absolutely in the spirit of this.
Yeah.
Businesses in Ponderay, adjoining communities, county level leaders,
yeah,
across the board.
You know, Ponderay had a pretty neat event last fall. Was it called Ponderay Day?
Ponderay Neighbor Day.
Ponderay Neighbor Day. Maybe that could be at the Field of Dreams this year. Just throwing that out there as an idea.
You know.
Because it was pretty cool to see Ponderay have a big event like that.
It was a great event, yeah. And we got probably more positive, constructive feedback from that event than we have in years of me trying to send out public notices and get people to come out to meetings. And we're going to do that again.
Yeah.
You had the Ponderay Bay Trail folks, the Friends of, that also kind of partnered with you and got the spirit of the City of Ponderay being good neighbor.
Yeah, and Lohr Foundation, in fact, was a big partner in that. I think some of the listening that they did during that event is what's helped them continue to want to support Ponderay and the smaller communities in our region.
Yeah, and I hope that comes across. You know, Susie, you mentioned, you know, conservation work. You know, we've been involved in this community. We've been involved in, you know, the Pine Street Woods. We've been involved in some transportation projects, some economic development projects. I just want to make sure the audience knows and everyone understands that we are not imposing our view from the outside. It's really about listening and really engaging with the community. That's what first and foremost what we want to do here is understand what does the community need or want. And for this Field of Dreams, you know, what's the old adage or statement, you know, the longest journey begins with the first couple steps. So, you know, this is just another step along that process of what that Field of Dreams is going to become. And, you know, hats off to those who went before to secure that. I know Mayor Koonsman was a huge part of that. And, you know, now for the next step, which is really interesting, what does the community want? What's it going to cost? Who are the other funding sources? And, you know, how do we get from the vision to the actual reality?
Mm-hmm. This is great. It's taking a project that was partway there, and it's so close we can all taste it, and helping it get to the finish line.
Just to be clear, the city of Pend'Oreille owns the Field of Dreams. This is for developing it and making it functional and usable.
That's actually a partnership as well. Through the assistance of Panhandle Area Council, we own the Field of Dreams, which is a project partner, along with the nonprofit North Idaho Youth Sports. And so the city of Pend'Oreille went forward with that with no real clear picture of how this was going to come together, but with the belief that it was the right thing to do for the community. And so, yeah.
Let's swing back to the city of Sandpoint and the University of Idaho property that the Laura Grant is going to help secure, we hope. But that's a pretty big chunk of property. What do you know what the assessed value is, and how's that work where the city might buy all of it or part of it? Or give us some more detail on that, Shelby, Mayor Shelby Ronstad.
Sure. So, you know, we have an idea of what that land is worth. There were a couple of appraisals done on it. I'm not at liberty to share what that is. However, and of course, it's been owned by a public entity for a long time. So there's no, it's not taxed. What I can say is that it's worth a lot more than what we have right now. So we are looking for other funding partners. Right now, we've been in negotiation with the university for almost 2 years about this now. And one thing that they've been very clear about from the beginning is that they're really interested in selling the whole parcel as is. I think they're on a relatively quick timeline. They already have an intention in terms of what they want to do with that fund, with those funds. So we're trying to, you know, they came to us as good partners, and we're trying to be good partners with them and work within their framework. So what that means is that, you know, unfortunately, we can't just buy off 5 acres here or 10 acres there. The whole parcel would go as one piece. So that means we need to bring either other money to the table or other partners together to collaborate in the purchase. Hopefully we're trying to do that with Urban Renewal right now. They have to go through a plan revision in order to do something like that. But after speaking with the board, I feel that the board is generally very friendly to this idea. I know it's been a passion for a long time. This idea of a community recreation center is something that is appealing to many members of the board. So this is, as well as the broader community, of course. So I think that we've got, that we could expect a good partner in Urban Renewal, but that still only gets us partway there. And so I think likely what's to happen at the end of the day, and let me just mention too that, you know, we have looked out at what other kinds of grant opportunities are out there, foundations, state and federal monies. And there are other opportunities out there, but unfortunately we have such a tight timeline here. We're really down to, you know, the next few months of having to make a play. So because of that, of course, all these other, particularly the state and federal funding opportunities, you know, there isn't anything within the near future that would be applicable for us. And even with other funds that are out there from private philanthropy, there isn't anything that's going to fit within that tight timeline for us. But looking down the road, if we are successful with acquisition, or at least partial acquisition, we could look to those sources for other things like infrastructure for the actual development of the rec center itself, or for infrastructure improvements at the site like trails and other things. In fact, we had a commitment from the local Equinox Foundation that we're very grateful for to contribute towards a trail network or a trail within that parcel if we're successful with our efforts. So there's we are building those partnerships, but we have a long way to go. And I think at the end of the day, what the university has given us as their timeline is that they're looking to put the property on the market in June. So that's really the timeline that we need to work with.
That's a pretty short timeline.
It is. It definitely is. However, I think, you know, if and when that happens, it goes out to the market, I think that private developers will come to the table, and I understand there has been interest around that property. At that point, you know, the city can reach out and say, "Hey, we can collaborate in this purchase with you. We can reduce your cost going in." And at the same time, for any, say, residential development that might happen adjacent, we'll actually provide value by creating this wonderful recreation amenity right next door. So I think for any developer, it would make a lot of sense to partner with the city, reduce their cost going in, and then really ultimately improve the value of their development because of the amenities that the city can contribute around the site.
And of course, affordable housing is a big issue here. So
absolutely.
It is 77 acres. A portion of that property, if it were developed, could be maybe put towards a housing that would be more affordable for the working folks in town.
That's right. Yeah, workforce housing continues to be an issue that is increasingly identified as a real challenge for this community, both, as Jeremy mentioned earlier, for our employers in the community. And, you know, I've been in public service here for almost 10 years, and that's something that I've heard increasingly over time. And in previous years, we would always hear that from our largest employers, their difficulty in recruiting people, in retaining people, just solely because of the challenge of finding affordable housing for their staff or their employees. But increasingly, I'm even hearing that from small businesses here locally, businesses within the downtown core, within the Chamber of Commerce, et cetera. So this is a problem that is present, but it's also impending. And we're hearing that, too, from the state as well, from Department of Labor and from the Department of Housing. So this is... It's a real issue. It's one that we need to address now, but really we need to get out ahead because I think the real impact is yet to be felt. So
I just want to jump in. This is Jeremy from the Lohr Foundation. You know, no single site is going to address our affordable housing mm-hmm. issue in this community. And, you know, for some of you who track this sort of stuff, we were just identified as one of the fastest, I think it was the 10th or the 7th fastest, micropolitan growth area in the country.
In the country, that's remarkable.
Idaho is the fastest growing state in the country. And I just want to emphasize that it's not one site that's going to solve this problem. It's really about developing a community that is livable and quality so that, you know, any given block, any given street has a variety of housing on it. And that's, you know, if you focus back on old Sandpoint or historically how we developed as a nation before, you know, World War II, you had a lot of mixture on these streets. You have houses of all different sizes and values, and you still see that in some of our tight-knit kind of historic neighborhoods. So I just want to emphasize that one site is not going to address this issue. Mm-hmm. It's a community-wide issue. It's about creating and developing quality towns, quality places that have amenities and the features that people desire mm-hmm. so that they can, and you know, interact and live a great life in these places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate you saying that, Jeremy. and also, I want to reiterate that, you know, through our sub-area comp plan revision, we really asked that question to the community is, what kind of development, if any, do you want to see here at this parcel specifically? And we got a lot of feedback. And then we did a follow-up survey. This was after the sub-area review, and this was to provide good data to support our grant request to the Lohr Foundation. We put out a survey online where we had 560 responses, as well as a couple other workshops and an open house to to make sure that what we heard during the sub-area review was accurate, and also to drill down more specifically on this particular site and make sure that we got it right in terms of what the community wants to see here. And overwhelmingly, what we heard from the public was that open space and conservation of, wetlands, wildlife corridors, trail connectivity, recreation, these were the resounding themes that we heard from the public that they wanted to ensure were, to the greatest extent possible, preserved on this space. And the other thing that we heard, while there was some recognition that there was a need for workforce housing in this community, and that we this was an opportunity to begin to address that issue, and there may be other development opportunities on that site as well, it became clear from the community that what they wanted to see was a continuation of the fabric, the built environment that we see in Sandpoint today already, rather than something you know, high density that doesn't fit within our existing fabric. So I would expect that whatever we see, whatever development does happen on that site, would happen in accordance with those values. And certainly that's the groundwork that was laid through the sub-area revision process, and what I would expect to see from any future rezoning that could happen there. And let me mention that right now today, that property is zoned single-family residential. So if a developer were to go in and buy that then today and start building, that that's what you'd see is...
That would limit the density right there.
That's right. Yeah.
What's really cool is there's a lot of examples of wonderful co-housing to address these kind of projects or other kind of housing situations. So with the support of the Lohr Foundation and the work that the cities, both cities, are doing, our little community nestled on the banks of this beautiful lake are very fortunate to have that support.
And we're going to have just a few more minutes here, but I wanted to swing back to Lohr Foundation. Jeremy, you mentioned that the Lohr Foundation has actually been active in Sandpoint for 6 years. And folks may not know it because it was kind of low-key for the first few years, I think, but it was instrumental in helping acquire the Pend'ry Bay Trail. And it is also contributing to the effort to acquire the Pine Street Woods with the Kinnickshue Land Trust. I guess my question was, how did the Lohr Foundation, which is, you know, based off in New Mexico, I think,
Jackson, Wyoming.
Jackson, Wyoming. How did the Lohr Foundation discover Sandpoint and decide to invest in our town?
You know, that's a, great question, Chris, and I don't know all the details. I don't know what the moment was that, you know, caused that decision to be made. I can say that, you know, we work in rural communities that are facing change and struggling or, you know, have issues that they need to deal with that often they may not have the financing, the expertise, or other related tools to address these issues. As I mentioned before, these could be economic development or growth or, you know, transportation related issues. And all these issues come back to affecting quality of life. You know, most people recognize that the West is growing faster than other parts of the country. And as that growth occurs, those who've been here for generations, their quality of life is sometimes impacted. And when we look at where we're going to work, the communities that are facing challenges across the spectrum, we also like to look and understand, are there partners there we can work with? I equate it to pushing on a rope. If anyone's tried to push on a rope, it doesn't go very far. But if you can put a rope out and somebody can pull back, you can get a lot done. And, you know, Sandpoint, the greater Sandpoint area, is very, very fortunate to have a lot of rope pullers, so to speak. You know, there are a tremendous amount of organizations, the governments here, everyone wants to lean in and help. And even when there's differences of opinion and polarization of viewpoints, people come together here. And that's what makes it a great place to work and a place that, you know, Lohr feels that we can really be, make a difference here. But again, it's all about the community's vision. We're not, we never want to be seen as an outside influence, you know, suggesting what should happen in any community we work. We want to make sure that we are here partnering and listening. And that's, we're very different in the world of philanthropy. Many other large organizations and foundations, you know, don't work like this. We are sort of the startup or the disruptor in the world of philanthropy, in the sense that we are working very closely with these communities, very intimately, and really trying to impose and support community-driven decisions and priorities.
And we should mention that folks can learn more about the Lohr Foundation at lohrfoundation.org. That's lohrfoundation.org. And Lohr stands for Livability, Opportunity, Responsibility.
That's right.
That's very in keeping with what you're trying to do here in Sandpoint, for sure. I guess we have just a minute or so for Eric Brubaker from Pondere, do you have any 30 seconds or so of last comments you might like to
make? Oh, no pressure, Chris. I just want to say, we're a small rural community. We like it that way, but there are resources that we don't have. And I think to keep our town and country feel, everyone wants to keep Sandpoint, wants to keep our town and country vibe. And what we're looking at here is ways to find opportunities in quality of life, in healthy living, in education, things that a well-rounded community has, but sometimes small rural communities miss out on. And that's what it feels like is being brought to the table here for us.
Mm-hmm. Same question. Do you, Shelby Ronstadt, mayor of Sandpoint?
Yeah, well, I would just say that quality of life is a phrase that I throw around a lot, and I think it's one that here at the city of Sandpoint, we place a very high value on, and I think as a community as a whole, I believe that that's why most people here choose to live here, because of the high quality of life, the amenities that we have available here, affordability, historical character, and I really appreciate that the Lohr Foundation recognizes all of that. And I feel that that's where our missions unite, and why we can be such good partners here, because we share that value.
Well, thank you so much, Shelby Ronstadt, Mayor of Sandpoint, Eric Brubaker, Planner for the City of Pondere, and Jeremy Grimm, Program Officer for the Lohr Foundation.
Yeah, come down, swing by Second Ave. Give me some ideas if you have projects or thoughts on ways we can enhance livability in the community.
And Jeremy will listen and get a sense of what's going on here in North Idaho. We want to thank you for being with us. This is the morning show at 88.5 KRFY. We're going to go out with a song here in just a few minutes, but we want to remind you of a few things that are going on. And one of the big things is tomorrow on the morning show, Jack Peterson, Jim Healy, their guests will be Corey Holman from Mountain State Early Head Start, who will be talking about Child Abuse Awareness Month, which is the month of April, which is coming right up on Sunday. It's also Easter Sunday. So again, that's tomorrow at 8 a.m. on 88.5 KRFY. Next Wednesday, Chris Bessler and myself, Susie Perez, will be kicking off Local Decision Primary 2018. The Democratic candidates from District 1, Seat A, will be with us. That's Ellen Weissman and Bob Vicarious. Also, a discussion about the pros and cons. We'll have two people in, one that's for the Scotchman Peaks Wilderness designation and a person that's against. So this will be an interesting conversation. We'll keep it friendly here in the community radio station, so you can join us. And from then on out to the primary, we will be interviewing contested races in the primary election. So you can always tune into Local
Decision. The following week of April 11th, we'll mention that one, we will be talking with the Republicans that are going for the District House CA. That's incumbent Heather Scott, as well as challenger Mike Beck. They've both been invited in, and we expect to see both of them. We certainly hope to see both of them. And then, as Susie mentioned, we'll be touching on all the other races. The district Senate race with Danielle Ahrens, Scott Herndon, and Jim Woodward on April 18th. The Republicans that are going for the county assessor on April 25th. The Bonner County Commission District 3 race on May 2nd. And then the Bonner County Commission District 1 race, Republican, May 9th.
And on May 8th, there will be a forum. We want to talk about that. Chris, it's sponsored by Sandpoint Online and The Reader, and I think a little bit of KRFY.
KRFY always is helpful in getting our forums together. Yes, we're having a candidates forum that will be at the Sandpoint High School from 5:30 to 7:30, maybe a little bit later, on May 8th. That's the week, Tuesday before the May 15th primary election. And we'll have candidates from actually all the races, but the candidates that will have more time to speak will be those in the contested races for the primary election.
And we are still going to try to get District 7 candidates up here. They're working with some event that's coming up, Lincoln Day, and they're going to all try to come up, but we'll do a recorded interview with them.
We hope
we can wrangle the five of them together.
Well, District 7 runs all the way from Sagal all the way down to Riggins. It's this huge district. The three incumbents are all from the southern part of the district, so it is difficult to get them up here. But we'll do our best. And of course, they are opposed by in all those races.
And we really appreciate everyone tuning in today. If you did not catch the whole show, the morning show this morning, you can go to our website, krfy.org, under podcast. It will be up, and you can listen to it at your leisure. We're going to go out this morning with a song. It is the birthday of Lady Gaga, and she was born in 1986. This is a song, Lady Gaga, Tony Bennett singing, I Won't Dance. We hope you have a beautiful day.